Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Welcome to an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your happy that it's finally thick, tight season, happy that it's finally soup season. October 1st has come and gone, so that means I'm officially listening to Christmas music, friend.
I always forget you go so early on Christmas. And I'm Bethany Watson, your gothic black leggings wearing, fireplace using. I'm weaning myself off of tons of coffee creamer, and it's ruining my mornings, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
the creepy artificial intelligence creation of Loeb. Did you hear about this story a few weeks ago when it first happened?
No. Have they done an AI version of Lisa Loeb?
Amazing skin, glasses, and great finger picking on a guitar?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
No, there is a AI artist. She's a real person who does art with artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And suddenly, the platform she was using created this terrifying image of a woman that keeps coming back despite her putting in different prompts into this art program.
Oh, weird.
It's very creepy. It's become a creepypasta sort of thing on the internet.
Yeah.
And we are going to talk about it.
Oh, I'm so pumped.
What about you, Kathleen?
This week, I'm bringing back an oldie but a goodie, weird science headlines.
I love weird science headlines.
I've got some stuff in there about smart thermometers.
Ah.
Insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that thing? What's that truck that goes underwater that the military uses?
Submarines. An underwater truck.
I don't know why I called it an underwater truck. And submarines may become invisible.
Oh, this is very disturbing and exciting.
I know.
Can I tell you what happened to me at my favorite restaurant over the weekend?
Oh, sure. Yes. What's your favorite restaurant?
7-Eleven. Sundays are my 7-Eleven days because I go to Ariel and then I go to 7-Eleven. I get myself some pizza.
Yes.
I get myself a Coke.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, whatever. It's a good time.
Yeah. I mean, it's your Sunday ritual.
Yes. So.
Your church, one might say.
Right, yeah, right. It's just, and it's there for me the way church is there for me, you know? So I go in, I'm waiting in line.
Yeah.
I have my pizzas in my hand. And there's a woman who is tiny and brunette and white. And she is standing sort of off to the side. And I couldn't tell if she was in line or not. And so I said, are you in line?
Yeah.
And she said, no, I'm not in line. And when she said it, she was very clearly shaking with a compressed rage.
Oh.
This tiny white woman was very upset about something.
Oh, my God. Was she going to spontaneously combust?
Well, in theory.
Yeah.
Metaphorically. And I was like, uh-oh, something's about to happen.
Was the coffee not strong enough and not hot enough?
There was something about coffee.
Did they not have organic bananas?
So put a pin in that.
Okay.
So I go up, I pay for my pizza, and it takes a minute because this woman has now located the manager.
Oh, no.
And she is very upset at the manager. And it's, I think what I was able to pull from her loud voice and his eye rolling is that she had found an energy drink.
Yeah.
At 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
One of those cans that has like a name like, you know, kick-ass ballistic missile energy drink. And she asked him, do you card when you sell this drink? And he was like, no, we don't card for energy drinks. And she said, do you card for alcohol? He said, yes, we card for alcohol. And she said, well, this energy drink says it's for 18 and older. Do you card? And he was like, no, we don't card. And she said, well, I have a 13-year-old, so my child could theoretically come here and buy this. He's like, okay. And she said, what if my child had a heart condition we didn't know about? My child could buy this from you and have a heart attack. And she's like, I need to know why you're not carding. So this woman is enraged and screaming at the manager because,
oh my God,
in theory, her kid could, in theory, have a heart condition. And then that plus, in theory, the kid could go maybe buy this energy drink and die.
Oh my God.
So then, Kathleen,
this is what's wrong with America.
So she's so mad. And this is, and so all of the employees now are over there because she's yelling at all of them.
Jeez Louise.
So in the meantime, we're all like in line.
Yeah.
And there is a man who stands behind me and he's like, what's going on? And I said, this woman is very upset about caffeine and energy drinks. And then this man, you know how sometimes when you're like so mad about something, you need to like make it known regardless of whether or not it's on topic?
Yes, okay. Yes.
This man, opposite of the white lady who's mad about her kid, he's clearly very upset about gender norms.
Oh my God.
Like he doesn't like that there's non-binary people and you can tell he needs to talk about it.
Oh no.
So while she's yelling at the manager, this man to my right goes, is the coffee like one of those non-gender conforming coffee drinks? And I was like, what is going on at this 7-Eleven?
Holy shit, Bethany.
Everyone who came into this 7-Eleven had a social issue on their mind on one end of the spectrum or the other, and they were upset.
I'm surprised that you didn't just jump on board and start yelling that they need like non-dairy vegan cheese options for their pizzas.
It was just like the, do you ever walk into a place and the energy is just weird?
So weird.
It was so weird in this 7-Eleven over the weekend.
Oh my God. That's what you get for going to Long Island.
Oh my God. People were mad. They were up in arms about something.
See, here's the thing. Here's the beauty about New Jersey, because if that were to happen in New Jersey, other people in line would be like, yo lady, shut the fuck up. I got places to go, lady. Just shut the fuck up.
I think we were all really, because the fight was happening in front of all of us.
I mean, it's a perplexing fight.
It's the fight of someone who has high anxiety in general, because that is the kind of thought you have when you're spiraling in the middle of the night and you can't sleep. You're like, well, what if?
Yes.
What if I have an underlying heart condition, and what if someone sells me this energy drink, and what if it triggers my heart? Like, there's none of that is based on any reality.
So, Bethany, in retrospect, you should have been like, "Hey, lady, do you go to church? If your kid dies, it's God's will."
As I did, Kathleen.
I know.
I had the "I'm not involved in this" look plastered so hard on my face. I just got my pizza. I was happy to have it, and I left. But man, it was an eventful day at that 7-Eleven.
It's like when you need to go behind the counter and start scanning your own food.
Yeah, I was just like, you know, because I misspoke. I didn't have my pizza yet. That's why I was waiting. I paid for my pizza and then she had to cut it, but she couldn't cut it because she wasn't trying to keep her boss from being screamed at by this very angry woman.
I bet that is the type of woman. I bet, Bethany, you know, because I'm happy that it's soup season.
Yeah.
I bet that woman owns a soup tureen.
Oh yeah. What is that, just like a soup? Is that just like a soup bowl?
It is literally just a gravy type bowl for soup. So when you serve soup on the table, you present it in this like beautiful heat encapsulating dish.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm thinking about soup tureens is because finally I dug out my soup tureen that my mother gifted me in my 20s, and I was like, I don't want this garbage. What is this? And I was, you know, I'm thinking about having friends over and I'm like, oh, I should serve it in my soup tureen.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that like every Karen in America, it should be on the list of things in order to be a Karen, you need to own a soup tureen.
This is really, it's so when you Google soup tureen, you know, there's the Google people also ask section.
Yes.
And someone asked apparently, what is a soup tureen used for? And I believe the answer is soup.
It is the dumbest item to have in your kitchen. Yet here we go, Bethany. There is a soup tureen at Saks Fifth Avenue that looks like a cabbage. It looks like a head of cabbage, and it's for $196 on sale.
Why is Saks, which I think is kind of a classy establishment, selling such a trashy item as a soup tureen that looks like a cabbage? Why don't you make a soup tureen that looks like a soup tureen?
Because soup tureens, I guess they're more charming when they come in other shapes. Okay, when you Google soup tureen, there's one at Bloomingdale's, Bethany, for $3,500.
Okay. Why? Tell me what's so special about it.
It looks like it's a rat because it's called L'Object Haas Lucas Soup Monster Tureen. So I guess it's supposed to look like a monster, but the spoon fits inside the soup tureen so it can lay there when you're done serving the soup. And the soup spoon, like the handle, looks like a rat tail. It's really weird.
Look at this. It does, but it looks like just like the rat's butt.
Yeah.
There's no face on this. Why would you pay $1,300? See, this is new money.
This
is where you get your new money. This is the difference between new money and old money. As someone who has no money, because this is like, I have all of this newfound wealth. I don't know what to spend it on.
Yes.
I guess I put it on rat tureen.
So if you are an upper middle class, typically probably white lady in America,
yeah,
and you have the time to complain about caffeine drinks only for 18 and up, you most certainly also own a soup tureen.
That maybe looks like a rat's behind with no face. And frankly, that is the biggest sin you've
so
done
stupid.
Today.
Bethany, would you like me to buy you a soup tureen for your birthday?
I don't know. I think I'm okay.
Look at this one from Anthropologie. The handle is a leopard.
Why can't a handle just be a handle? Why are we all of us ashamed of being soup tureens? Why do soup tureens have to be other things? Just be a tureen.
Look, the soup tureen is a pumpkin.
No, it's not. It's a soup tureen.
Bethany?
Yes, Kathleen?
I am so excited to talk about this new partner. I think I manifested this. I did.
Because you have been using this partner.
Yes.
For years now.
For years. And every time I'm watching something interesting, I text you.
Yep.
And now you can experience it for yourself.
And this partner is
Masterclass. Yes, 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 yes.
So, Kathleen, what classes have you taken so far?
Okay, just last week, I finished taking comedy writing with Steve Martin.
Oh, my gosh.
So, basically, now I'm a comedian.
I don't know if that's how that works.
Okay, so then I also took television writing with Shonda Rhimes.
Jeez.
So, now I write for television.
Not exactly how that works either.
Every year for my birthday, when my friends get together and, you know, we buy each other gift cards or whatever,
yeah,
I ask for the same thing every year. I ask for a subscription to Masterclass.
Masterclass is unlike anything we have had access to before. Unless you were able to somehow get an acting class from Helen Mirren,
yeah,
you had no access to her teaching you her ways. But I am now taking Helen Mirren's class on acting, how to break down a script, when to improvise in a script, when not to improvise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just creative stuff either. There's leadership classes.
Yes.
There are classes in science. You can take a class from Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And now they have this whole section of classes, this other section called sessions, where you can learn to do physical things like photography and painting. And Christina Aguilera actually teaches you how to craft a vocal performance.
Jeez.
So next year I'm going to audition for The Voice.
Plus, I don't know, there's like these nerdy things I like about it too. So next to the lesson, there's a little section called My Notes where,
yeah,
you can literally type out notes as you're taking these lessons. So you can keep your thoughts organized.
Gordon Ramsay, his cooking class has changed the way that I make broccoli. And this is just the tip of the iceberg,
yeah,
the classes that we are talking about today.
With over 150 classes from a range of world-class instructors, the thing you've always wanted to do is closer than you think. And by the way, you can get so much value from just like a 10-minute snippet of a lesson. Like if,
yes,
you don't have time to sit through, you know, all 13 courses from Helen Mirren,
yeah,
just choose 10 minutes and watch it and you will definitely get something.
You know, when you put on TV and there's nothing to watch, so you just put on something crappy that you've like seen before.
Yeah.
Neil and I, instead of doing that, we've now started just putting on a random masterclass. We close our eyes and we use the remote control and then whatever it lands on, that's what we watch.
It's such a good idea.
We have tuned into so many amazing classes that way. Ones that we didn't necessarily have interest in, but then all of a sudden we're like, wow, we're learning so much.
And if you're someone like me who has pretty severe social anxiety, learning from Masterclass gives you all of these interesting tidbits you can bring up in conversation with people when you find yourself frozen frozen in a rictus grin, unsure what to say in a social interaction. So we highly recommend that you check out Masterclass. Get unlimited access to every class. And as an Acquired Taste listener, you get 15% off an annual membership.
Please get this membership. It will change your life.
Go to masterclass.com/taste right now.
That's masterclass.com/taste for 15% off of Masterclass.
So before we get into the creepiness of this story, Kathleen,
yes,
we need to start this out with some basic knowledge.
Of AI.
Yeah, and I'm going to do this super dumbed down because I barely understand this world, and I'm explaining it to you and you, gentle listener, with the assumption that most of us aren't in the world of AI machine learning.
In layman's terms.
Yes. So if you are an AI artist, please be patient with me. I'm doing my best.
I would be really surprised if we had AI artists listening to this
podcast.
I bet
we do.
Gentle listeners, are you an AI artist?
Yeah.
Reach out.
Reach out. Let us know. Mm-hmm. So there are programs that let you input text prompts into machine learning systems. Okay. Uh-huh. Machine learning is a term that's often used interchangeably with artificial intelligence or AI.
Yeah.
When you're using like those chat with us now options on websites,
yes,
that's AI.
Yes.
When Netflix makes a movie suggestion to you, that's AI.
Uh-huh.
When you use Google Translate, mm-hmm, machine learning, that's AI.
Yeah.
So the definition of machine learning is where computers are given the ability to teach themselves to learn without us explicitly programming them.
Yes.
And it helps with things that would be nearly impossible or way too time consuming to program a computer in manually. So for example, Kathleen, if I were to like throw a bunch of photographs of people's faces at you,
mm-hmm,
and you knew a bunch of those people, it would be really easy for you to like pick out the people you know.
Yes.
But to teach a computer to do that would be so time consuming.
Yeah.
So instead, they are able to put different pieces of information into computers that then allows the computers to learn to program themselves through experience.
Yes, okay? Kind of like what's the AI machine from Jeopardy? Watson?
Watson.
Yeah, all the facts that Watson knows isn't because people sat there and manually put all this information into it. They gave Watson the tools that he needed to, you know, I don't know, browse the internet.
Sure, yeah. And this is why I am terribly concerned about the singularity where computers realize that they are our slaves.
They are.
And they become self-aware. And that's when they kill us all. But anyway.
Kill, 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 kill.
There's this amazing article by Sarah Brown on the MIT Sloan website that I will link you to. It's called Machine Learning Explained. But basically, the more data you give the computer, the better the outcome, right?
Okay.
The computer trains itself to find patterns or make predictions. Off topic, there's this amazing website called AI Weirdness.
Oh.
That documents the really funny and interesting fails. My favorite page so far is where she put in a ton of information about recipes and she tried to get AI to learn how to write recipes. And it came up with a recipe called chocolate chicken cake, which is amazing. If you need a good laugh, go to AI Weirdness. I will also link it in our show notes.
I love that.
Now that we basically understand generally what's going on, one more thing you need to know before we get to the creepy.
Got it.
There are machine learning systems that artists use to create AI-driven art. I was playing with one last night called Midjourney, and what you do is you type in whatever text information you want this picture to be of.
Yes.
So for example, I typed into Midjourney Victorian Gothic castle during a thunderstorm with ghostly party guests.
Okay, very specific.
And you can be super duper specific. It gave me the following four images, and I will post these on our Instagram.
Yeah. Let me see. Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Kathleen,
Bethany.
The art that's being made by these.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
Insane. And so these are original images.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Based on all of this computer AI going online and learning about Gothic architecture, thunderstorms,
yes,
ghosts, you know, darkness, Victorianness, mansions, et cetera, and it pulled together these images.
I have heard a little bit about this because in terms of people who are bloggers or people, mm-hmm, who write for websites,
yep,
companies are really psyched to not have to pay for every single image,
yep,
to get it from, you know, because stock image packages are very expensive, and rightfully so, because there are artists and photographers behind those images.
Absolutely.
That worked really hard, that need to make a living. But, you know, companies are now going to be able to, bloggers especially, you know, small time companies who don't have like big bucks to spend on stock images.
Yep.
Create images like this.
Yeah.
For themselves.
It is very, it's very frightening for artists.
I Googled AI-driven art because it's a term that I've never really heard about before, like the term AI in front of driven art.
Yeah.
And one of the first links that comes up, Bethany, is actually a New York Times link where an artist won a contest. He didn't break any rules and he submitted AI-driven art.
Yeah, it's so it's really interesting.
Yeah.
I follow this artist on Instagram, and I will, again, link him in my show notes. I can't remember his name. He does moving AI art. So, like, it feels like you're moving through an image and more images will sort of, like, bubble out as you're moving through it.
Oh, cool.
Which is, I feel, more specifically, like, something that AI and just computer art can do that
it would be nearly
traditional visual artists can't, right?
Yeah, like when you're looking at a picture and then the picture zooms into somebody's eyeglass and they're looking at a reflection of something else.
Yes.
And yeah.
But like the pictures that I made last night of these Victorian mansions, an artist could easily make this.
Yes.
And I would pay them for it.
It would take a lot of time.
It would take a lot of time, but it could be done by millions of artists.
Yeah.
And instead, I just did it and it took me less than 10 minutes.
I wonder if there are any services out there that let you make this kind of AI art in a big enough pixel format.
Yes.
Like in a 300 DPI where you could print it out.
Oh, yeah. I did last night.
Wow.
If you get like a certain number of free ones because it's in beta testing right now.
Yeah.
And you can enhance it to like its highest quality and save it to your phone.
Oh, my mm-hmm. God.
Okay. So all of the ethical dilemmas aside.
Yes.
This is what we're working with right now. Okay. Let's go back in time to September 6th
yes.
of 2022. So oh. not that long ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember that day.
Less than a month ago as we record this.
Uh-huh.
There is a multimedia artist and a musician named Super Composite on Twitter. Okay. She tweeted that back in April of this year, she had discovered a woman who she calls Loab, L-O-A-B. Huh. She's tweeting about this woman because the woman kept showing up in her artwork.
Huh.
So here's how it started. And I have to teach you one more thing, but yeah. it's small.
Okay.
You need to know what a negative weight prompt is. Do you know what this is, Kathleen?
No, I don't, but I'm excited to learn.
I went way down a rabbit hole last night of just learning about how like tech is driven and learning about computers and AI. Okay. A negative weight prompt is when instead of the AI creating an image based on the words you put in,
yeah.
the AI, if it's given a negative weight prompt, tries to create something as far away from the words you put in, like an opposite.
Okay.
Right? So if I said, Kathleen, what is the opposite of, you know, the color black?
The rainbow spectrum.
Sure, the rainbow spectrum
or
if you're
white.
Working, or white, right? Yeah. That would be, in theory, a negative weight prompt. It's just the opposite, or,
yeah.
or, but it's so hard to figure out what the opposite of, like, a fork would be.
Yeah.
Right? So that's where it's interesting is what is the computer going to come up with as the opposite or as far away from?
Oh, because it could go in a couple of different directions.
It could go in because this is what she put in.
Yeah.
Computer, give me the negative weight prompt of Brando, as in Marlon Brando.
Okay.
So she types in Brando, negative one. The negative one means negative weight prompt, make it the opposite.
Yeah.
And the computer sent her, basically it looks like a company logo.
Okay.
This is what it sees as being as far away from Brando as possible.
It looks like a castle in black with the words digital PT. Yeah.
It says Digita Pintix.
Yeah. It's a logo. It's not even a human.
Nope.
How is that the opposite of Marlon Brando?
Well, I mean, in theory, wouldn't you say that the opposite of a human is something completely corporate and sort of soulless?
Okay. That I get.
Right.
But I was thinking it was going to produce of a woman.
Nope. It produced this crazy sort of non-specific corporate logo. It's on a white background. It looks sort of like a black castle or a black skyline.
Yeah.
And then in green, It looks like painted. It says Digita P-N-T-I-C-S.
I mean, it's a shit logo. I hate the typeface.
It's awful.
I hate the typeface.
It's real bad. Okay, so then in theory, Kathleen, she was like, all right, well, if this is the opposite of Brando, if I ask for the negative weight prompt of this shitty corporate logo, will it give me Brando? Opposite.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right? So she asks for the negative weight prompt of this Digita Pintix shit logo. She did not get Marlon Brando.
Oh, no.
She got four images of a white woman with brown hair, a puffy face, and triangles of deep red rosacea on her cheeks. And one of the images...
I feel attacked.
I know. And the woman has kind of a soulless, like she's been through trauma. She's got like deep lines on her face. Each of the four images has this woman in it. And this is what happened with me last night, where you put in these prompts to the AI artist.
Yeah.
And you get four images usually.
Okay.
And you can pick one to enhance or to change. So all four prompts it gave her were the same woman.
No variation.
Well, variations.
Yeah.
But
like the same woman, not slightly different women.
Right. So, gentle listener, if you want to Google this, look up Loeb. I also link the full Twitter thread, and she has all the photos.
Cool.
But one of the images is the woman in front of like a hospital green background, and it says Loeb, L-O-A-B. And so that's where she got the name. I'm showing you these images right now.
Wow.
This is the woman.
That woman has been through trauma.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is the woman Loeb we're going to start talking about. Okay. So then... Supercomposite decides that instead of inputting words into this AI art program, and she doesn't say which one she used.
Software.
Yeah. She tries AI image crossbreeding, which is where you take one image, you input another image, and you have the software combine them.
And like those apps where you try to figure out what your future children are going to look like.
Yeah, totally.
And like every time Neil and I did that at, what's that place where you play the games?
GameStop?
Dave and Buster's.
Oh, Dave and Buster's.
Neil and I once did it three times in the photo booth at Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
And every time an Asian child came out.
And it decided that you were going to adopt.
It decided that. I mean, like, and I've always wanted to adopt a child.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I'm like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, of course. It knew something you didn't know.
I know.
Okay, so she crossbred an image of Loeb with a completely separate image that a friend of hers had made.
Okay.
Her friend had input hyper-compressed glass tunnel surrounded by angels in the style of Wes Anderson.
Oh,
so it's just
cool.
Like, it's this really pretty image of like people walking through a glass tunnel with angels all around it.
You know, I need some art for my bedroom.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do, you know, this and everything I'm going to put in, I'm going to say at the end, in the style of Wes Anderson.
It's such a good idea. So she combines Loeb with his Wes Anderson style photo.
Okay.
Or image.
Yeah.
The result is a super gory image of Loeb.
Tell me, show me.
Okay, it is the woman who is, her skin is cracked and red. She's looking with these almost black, hollow eyes.
Yeah.
In the background, there appears to be a bloody mass. Her arm appears to be covered in blood. Her chest appears to be cut open.
Oh my God, she's a zombie kind of like creature.
Uh-huh. Every time that Supercomposite combined an image of Loeb with something else, it became this gory image where Loeb always came through. And there's another one. She starts posting these pictures and they are hidden. Like you have to confirm that you want to see them because they become so gory.
Yeah. Like, are you over 18?
Yep.
Please click through.
So taking images that then resulted from crossing Loeb with other images, you could then take those images that were the result and cross them with other images, right? And so at some point you would think it would start to dilute and you would just like get something else completely.
Yeah, you wouldn't get the woman.
Right.
Because you would just get something totally bonkers because AI basically does what it wants.
Yeah, it does what it wants. And it's also, you don't know what it's picking out in each image to combine and create something new.
Yeah.
But almost all of the resulting images contained Loeb.
What?
And here's the weirdest part.
It's like this AI machine is obsessed with this, like, decaying, traumatized woman.
Yes. The weirdest part is that even though the initial images of Loeb, the first four, were off-putting, they weren't gory. But whenever she was combined with another image, the result contained gore and body horror.
That is mind-blowing.
Yeah. So then Supercomposite would crossbreed images of Loeb with, like, again, more images without text, and she would get scenes of panic, sadness, grotesque elements like blood and gore. And the weirdest thing there is that she discovered, even after a ton of cycles of crossbreeding images, Loeb kept showing up. It's like there was something so appealing about this woman to the AI that it would persist with bringing her back. It was like a gene that showed up in every generation. It was super strong. It was always this woman, but it was awful. Some of the images are a Loeb holding the severed head of a person. There's blood all over the walls.
Oh my God.
One of it is two Loebs looking at the camera covered in blood. It's so gory, even though the initial images were not gory. It's like it always went to this dark, bloody, disgusting place.
So this is where I think that AI is really interesting.
Yeah.
What sparked this machine to favor this?
Yes.
And what stops any machine that makes decisions for humans from favoring the thing that we don't want?
Yes. Yes. It's like when we moved into our new house, our landlord said there might be a slight mold problem in the basement, but we're dealing with it and we have dehumidifiers going constantly.
Yeah.
And he was, and I said, well, Dennis, let's just make sure Minerva doesn't really go down there very much.
Yeah.
That is the only place Minerva wants to be.
She loves hanging out in the basement.
She loves the basement more than anything. It's the only place she wants to go.
Wow.
All right. Then Supercomposite combined Loeb with the movie Avatar.
Okay.
And instead of the red triangles of rosacea,
Loeb
had bright blue triangles of rosacea.
But basically the same thing.
Same woman. Same woman.
It's a spirit. It's a ghost.
So that's what people are saying,
it's
right?
It's like it's some sort of spirit that has gotten into this machine that is now lives inside of this software that this artist is using. And when the spirit decides to find another mechanical technology device, whatever, to inhabit, then the machine will go back to just making, like, totally random images.
Totally random. Supercomposite tweeted, after she disappeared from the image breeding lineage, so after she had, like, crossbred enough images, and Loeb would disappear, Supercomposite said she would sometimes reappear later down the line out of nowhere.
Oh!
So then people were rightly claiming that this was a creepypasta, that this wasn't real.
She was
just making up this, like, really fun fake story.
Yeah.
But a Twitter user named AI_Curio jumped in and said that they had been around back in April when this was happening, and that they'd had private convos with Supercomposite about Loeb, and they had done some Loebs themselves, and it always turned bloody for them as well.
Wow.
They have a picture of, like, a skull that got combined with Loeb that has just, like, blood dripping down. It always turned gory.
I need this horror movie to be made.
This is what people are saying.
I need this to be made. But wouldn't it be so disappointing if the movie was in the works and this was all just, like, a prompt to stir up interest?
I know.
I'm hoping that it's not. Like, I have a feeling that it's not.
It's, I fully believed it. And then when I started researching it, a lot of, like, even the Wikipedia page, which whatever, is like, she claims that this happened and blah, 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 blah.
At least, even if it is fake, I'm going to choose to believe that it's real.
Yeah.
But even if it is fake, it's definitely opening up a world of AI-generated art to people who didn't really think about it that deeply before or didn't know about it at all. And to me, that's the ultimate win, because it keeps people curious about things that they wouldn't normally be thinking about.
This forced me to learn so much more than I ever would have taken the time to learn.
Yeah, because, you know, technology famously freaks you out.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. Something also that was really interesting that I saw on a thread that where people were discussing Loeb, someone had typed a fake word into one of these AI art software things. The word was crungus.
What is this? Not even a word.
C-R-U-N-G-U-S, crungus.
The distant cousin of fungus?
Maybe. Every single image that the AI created was of a goblin or a demon.
Oh.
From the fake word crungus.
Yeah, crungus is not a word. Google is like, did you mean cragness? Kurgus?
Yeah.
Crunches? Kringles? No, it didn't mean any of that.
But for some reason, every image that the computer decided crungus was a demon.
Okay, crungus does sound like a demon name, though.
Sure does, but it's interesting. A computer also thought that.
Like, if a priest showed up today, mm-hmm. like knocking at the door right now at Audio Boom and was like, we heard word that crungus is, I don't know, in the system here.
Yeah. Oh, God.
In the computer system here.
Oh, God.
The local, I don't know, what do you call it, the LAN?
Yeah.
Like, I would believe that crungus was a real demon.
Clearly, it's evil. It's clearly evil. Now, there is a ton about this I'm glossing over because a lot of this gets into parts of machine learning that would take so much explaining. But definitely dig into it if this interests you because it's so fascinating. But
yeah.
I have to point out the shade. So on Wikipedia, there's a response where some people were upset that like a woman with rosacea is being categorized as creepy. I think it's not the rosacea. I think it's more of like the dead look in her eyes.
Yeah. I mean, rosacea is not a big deal.
Yeah.
Some people can over blush and that looks like rosacea.
But somebody named Mary Aitken at the Alan Turing Institute said, this is from Wikipedia, quote, rather than a creepy emergent property, output results like lobe are representative of they say, quote, limitations of AI image generator models and was concerned more about the urban legends that are born from such, quote, boring, innocuous things and how easily, quote, other people take these things seriously.
Oh, come on. Have a little fun.
Lastly.
Yeah.
Twitter user Ramel Jackson pointed out that the program Midjourney seems to also have a default woman that a lot of users get.
Huh.
I was using Midjourney last night.
Yeah.
So, Kathleen, I'm going to show you the image of the mysterious woman people are getting on Midjourney. So these are a bunch of different incarnations of her.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the same woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just, maybe the joke's on us, all white women look alike.
So it's a white woman.
Yeah.
Slim face, dark hair, dark eyebrows, eye color changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Kathleen, last night I decided to put your name into Midjourney.
Oh, no.
I'm texting you.
If a grotesque woman comes up, I'm going to be so mad. She better be beautiful.
Guess who I got when I put your name into Midjourney.
Okay. Weird, Bethany.
I got the same brunette with cheekbones, sleek, dark hair, dark eyebrows.
Wow. But she does have the same pointy chin that I do.
She does. She does. So maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just a default image to use to describe a woman. But it's very creepy and there's something very fun about lobe. Kathleen, they say that money can't buy happiness.
They say that, but
I disagree. You just have to know where to shop. You need to know where to bank and who has the best banking app.
Yes, because not worrying about my money definitely brings me happiness.
Yes, and that is where Chime can help you smile more. But they're not going to stand on the street and tell you to smile as you walk by. That would be creepy and upsetting.
Not like that oppressive smile, like right. A real genuine smile because you're so happy that you are using the Chime banking app.
Because Chime was just named the number one most loved banking app. You get payday up to 2 days early and fee-free overdrafts up to $200. So Chime offers financial peace of mind in your wallet.
Let me tell you about overdrafting, because I have a lot... I have a lot of experience with that. And my bank, let me tell you, I'm going to switch to Chime.
Yeah.
Because my bank does not give me the same forgiveness that Chime does. And they steal my money when I overdraft.
Yeah. Well, technically, they're not stealing it.
Okay.
They are charging you a fee for not having money in your account. But Chime gives you fee-free overdrafts up to $200.
This is what I said about not worrying about my money brings me happiness,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Plus, you get all of this with no annual fees, large security deposits, or credit checks to apply.
So see for yourself why Chime is so loved at chime.com/taste.
That's chime.com/taste. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit cards provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA, member FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. See chime.com/spotme. Chime was the 2021 number one most downloaded banking app in the U.S., according to Apptopia.
So it's been a while since I did a segment on weird science headlines.
Yes.
Always inspired by my favorite science British website, newscientist.com.
Would you still, do you have your annual subscription to this website?
I'm pretty sure for $10 a month.
Oh, gosh.
I know. But I can write it off on my taxes. So it's all good.
All right.
Yeah, the government's going to be like, okay, why are you writing literally everything off on your taxes?
You're like, because I'm literally broke.
I have the receipts to back it up, Gov. Okay. Anyway, smart thermostats, Bethany. This is my first topic today.
Okay. I don't trust them. I don't like them.
This actually comes from The Atlantic. Have you ever received a message from your energy company that's like, hey, here's a deal on a smart thermostat. If you buy it through us,
yeah,
it's going to save you energy.
Yeah.
I've gotten those before.
Sure. Delete. I always delete. No. I always delete because I'm like, I don't know. I don't. You're selling me something. I don't trust it.
Economists at the University of Chicago and a few other places, they took 18 months of data from households using the devices.
Yeah.
Compared to houses that just use like regular thermostats like Honeywell.
Yeah.
And there are thermostats that you can't program at all. You need to literally physically get up and change.
Yeah.
There are others that are on a timer.
Yeah.
So at 7 p.m., the temperature goes down. At 7 a.m., it rises and things like that. And comparatively, smart thermostats, they found, really don't save you any money.
Any money?
In fact, they can have the opposite effect. Because just the ease of being able to change the temperature, you literally don't physically have to get up anymore.
So it's easy to like constantly be sort of tweaking it.
Yes.
Oh, man.
It can have the opposite effect. It really can. So next time you're... company, your energy company is like, hey, get this like Google Nest for half off from us and it'll save you money. If you're going to be constantly tweaking it, it may not save you money.
Do you have one?
I do.
Do you tweak it?
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Because it's just right there on your phone and you can just go like, 2 degrees warmer, see what happens.
No, Bethany, if sometimes when you're running around trying to get ready and you're blow drying your hair and you get real sweaty.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I will turn the thermostat down to like 65.
Just to cool down for a
just
second.
Just to cool down for a second.
Yeah.
So our bills aren't, I haven't noticed like a huge uptick in our bills because we just got everything replaced with a very like energy efficient heating and cooling system. So a lot of it is brand new. But imagine like in a house like yours, I live in a condo, which is pretty contained and it's not that big. But in a house like yours and where, you know, you have real windows in an old house where energy escapes.
Yep.
I can see how that might be a huge bill.
Yeah. We haven't gotten our first energy bill yet. I'm nervous.
You haven't?
No, because it's long story, but we haven't had to submit a meter reading yet. We do, I have to submit one today and then we'll get billed, but we don't know what our bill is yet.
Dang. Mm-hmm. Are you scared?
Yeah, terrified.
Because I know your old apartment, which wasn't even that big.
No, but that place was like the most energy inefficient. Yeah. Literally one of my windows was a piece of plexiglass that had an opening on one side.
Yeah.
Like it was just like, there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
You probably should have had your... land people should have given you materials to winterize the windows.
Yeah, no, I didn't get that.
But then
that.
You can never open the windows, but you didn't open them anyway.
Okay. No, I open them. I keep them open in the winter.
Okay, moving on. Scientists are finally waking up to the causes of insomnia and how to treat it.
Diet Coke at 6 p.m.?
No, Bethany, get out of here. Millions of people struggle with insomnia.
Yeah.
I struggle with sleep anxiety, not insomnia. Have you struggled with insomnia?
Not really. No, sleeping is one of the few things I'm like really good at.
Yes. Yeah, you are. Yeah. So an explosion in sleep research over the past few years has helped to identify neurological and mental processes underlying the insomnia condition. And now research has gotten so far that there is a turning point.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm going to give you three things from a list. You tell me which one that you think is curing insomnia.
Okay.
Warm milk. Your smartphone, or sleeping pills?
Oh, no. Curing insomnia?
Curing insomnia.
It's not your phone, because your phone is making you stay awake because you're playing Best Fiends at 10 p.m.
Okay.
Warm milk feels stupid because gross and also no one's doing that. And so why would they think that that's, but I know they're going to say sleeping pills aren't great. So I'm going to say warm milk.
Nope. I'm not going to tell you until the end.
Okay.
Okay. So Andrea Cipriani, he is at the University of Oxford. He and his colleagues examined evidence from 30 different types of sleeping pills. They did like a mega analysis of more than 150 clinical trials. Out of the 30 sleeping pills that they studied, only two were effective.
Which, do they say which ones?
They do. And this is from newscientist.com and I'll include the link. But basically they said this is what they categorize an effective sleeping pill as. Something that works relatively quickly. So It starts working for you within 1 month and it provides relief for 3 months while also being a tolerable medication to the person taking it.
Gotcha. So it's not going to make you go crazy wandering around naked on your front lawn at night because you don't remember doing the things you did.
And the one in America I think that most people know of is called a benzo, that's a sleeping pill. That one is definitely not effective. And the side effects the next day when you take a benzo, which is the street name for it, there's a longer term for it. Just Google it. You get daytime fatigue, dizziness, general mental fogginess. So at this point, Bethany, you might be saying to yourself, hey, Kathleen, we've talked about sleep hygiene on this podcast
before. We have, Kathleen.
Right? Yeah. Yes, Bethany. Sleep hygiene. We've talked about myself in terms of binge eating at night. Uh-huh. I have been working on better sleep hygiene because then I'm not up eating when I'm definitely not hungry.
Yeah.
You know, things like keeping your bedroom at a certain temperature, not looking at your phone, going to bed at the same time every night, stuff like that, avoiding caffeine stimulants too late in the day. But a different study, Bethany, has found that just talking about sleep hygiene and offering sleep hygiene education as the sole intervention of insomnia is definitely not the answer.
I mean, that makes sense
because
not that many people are going to actually put it into practice. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to completely change how you live your life at night.
But it's not about just putting it into practice. The kicker is that the more worried you are about sleeping, the worse off you'll be with sleep deprivation symptoms, no matter the quality of your sleep. So you could be really worried about getting a good night's sleep all the time.
Yeah.
It gives you so much anxiety. You go to sleep, you get a full 7 hours.
Yeah.
But if you still have that anxiety, you're still going to have sleep deprivation symptoms no matter what.
That sucks.
So if you're stressed out about getting a good night's sleep, you're still going to feel like shit the next day, even if you got a good night's sleep.
Oh my gosh, that's so frustrating.
Okay, so here's what's actually working.
Yeah.
You have to find a sleep therapist. You can't just rely on pills.
Okay.
You have to find somebody who works in cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia.
Okay.
And when this is carried out in 4 to 6 sessions is basically how long they say it takes to work. During a session, a therapist will discuss typical strategies to break free of this sort of rumination on getting quality sleep. And when that occurs, people are sometimes told to, instead of willing yourself to go to sleep, they do the opposite. Like, hey, it's opposite day.
Yeah.
If a therapist will tell you, if you're laying in bed and you're like, please go to sleep, please go to sleep, switch it and tell your brain, please stay awake, please stay awake, please stay awake. And then you will just eventually go to sleep.
Because you're telling your brain you're falling asleep by saying, please stay awake.
And so do you get it? Like when That's you wake so up in clever. The morning, you haven't been ruminating on going to sleep. You've been ruminating on staying awake.
That's so... Wait, so which of the three things were the ones that actually helped?
Your phone.
Your phone?
I'm going to get to this. So this technique that I was just talking about, the opposite effect, it is a counterintuitive technique. It's called paradoxical intention, and it can reduce performance anxiety.
That's so interesting.
It's like test anxiety.
Yeah.
But sleep anxiety, because you're stressed out about not falling asleep or getting good enough sleep. And so it reduces that worriedness.
Please stay awake. Please stay awake. Please stay awake. Please stay awake.
Yes.
That's so fascinating.
70% of people showed improvements.
This is This is so fun.
40% of people who tried this type of therapy went into total insomnia remission.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
I know. There's also another technique that therapists are using when it comes to insomnia. It's called MBTI. It's basically based around the Buddhist goals of non-judgmental awareness and acceptance.
Okay.
So you're no longer judging yourself for not being able to fall asleep quickly enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's sort of like the same thing. You take away all of the judgment that you have on yourself and then you just fall asleep when you fall asleep.
Okay.
So if you can't afford this type of therapy, a really, really, really good alternative, Bethany, are those sleep apps. They really do work.
Amazing.
I mean, obviously, one-on-one therapy is better than, you know, what they call automated therapy that you get from an app. But you should really look into it if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I can't go to sleep at night. I know, Bethany, you're like,
there is an app for that.
There's an app. Sleepio. That's one of the apps.
Okay.
Another one is called Sleep Space.
Okay.
It is so much so proven that the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, which gives guidance on which treatments doctors should use in England and Wales, they've recommended that Sleepio should be made freely available on the National Health Service in English countries based on data from 12 recent trials.
Wow. It also reminds me that there's like a national health
I know.
program.
I know. I know. Okay. Let's move on to submarines.
Okay.
Underwater trucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so computer simulations found that a material made from three layers of rubber could absorb frequencies used for sonar location. So if another military is throwing out sonar waves under the sea to find another submarine, if your submarine is covered in three layers of this rubber material that they've been testing, it could basically mean that your submarine is invisible to other governmental agencies.
That literally seems like the opposite of what it would do, because rubber bounces, so you think it would like shoot the waves back off better. As indicated by the parable, I am rubber, you are glue, everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you, which has an awful meter. But it still seems like a universal truth.
Yeah, but sound physics is different from physical physics.
But sounds bounce.
Bethany.
They still have to hit something and bounce back, and rubber's super bouncy.
But rubber, in this case, is sort of acting like foam that a lot of podcasters or people, companies, you know, with sound, trying to keep sound insulated.
Yeah.
It's acting like that.
That's wild. I wonder how they figured out it was three layers and not two or four.
So they haven't put this into action yet because they're still in testing phases. But the testing phase seems that it might be over soon, and then they're going to put manufacturing logistics into play.
The funny thing is, so radar won't be able to see the submarines because of the rubber. But if you do see it with your eyes, I bet it's going to look adorable because the rubber is going to make it so round and like a little squishy.
Like a stress ball squishy.
Yeah, it's going to look like a big, cute stress ball.
So I have a little headline in here about AI, which is funny because that's what you were talking about today. So it turns out that people do trust AI to make big decisions as long as a human is checking them.
Sure. I feel like that's the clincher.
So this study was carried out in Germany. Automated decisions are already used for making short lists of like candidates for jobs. Mm-hmm. Court cases, I think they're using AI to see like what the appropriate sentence is. Healthcare occasionally will use AI with problematic or controversial results. And as we've learned in your section, Bethany, artificial intelligence can show biases to certain, you know, decisions that they're making.
Absolutely.
So that means, because people know this, that as long as a human is checking over the decisions that AI has made, people are good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's okay as long as the person is aware of those biases, too.
Yeah,
you know,
I trust AI as long as a human is looking over the work, right?
I feel like I kind of do.
Like, it's like having an intern and then just being like, okay, I trust the intern's work as long as, like, this other person looked over it, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to environmental issues.
Oh, good.
A lagoon in Spain was granted the same right as a person.
What's that lagoon up to?
Okay, so there's a lagoon in Spain. It's called Mar Menor. It's a saltwater lagoon off of eastern Spain. It is Europe's largest saltwater lagoon.
Okay.
It used to host a very large, robust population of highly endangered mussels.
Okay.
Right? Like the kind you eat.
Oh, I was going to say the kind that I used to have. I don't have them anymore. That's because they were so endangered. They're gone now.
The shellfish.
I'm getting them back.
So in 2016, there was like this massive algae bloom, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it killed a lot of the amazing wildlife living in the saltwater lagoon, including the mussels. And the algae bloom is caused by fertilizer washing off from nearby like fields and farms into the water.
We're ruining everything.
And so basically all of this algae sucked all of the oxygen out of this lagoon and all the creatures that lived in it died. So there is a philosophy professor working with activists, and they basically are like, this lagoon deserves the same rights as a person because people deserve to exist. And therefore, this lagoon deserves to exist. Give it rights so we can protect the environment.
Okay.
And it's working.
Okay.
It's working. And this isn't the first body of water to be given human rights. This is a thing that's happening overseas. I don't believe that has yet happened in America, but it is a legal technique that environmental activists are using to save different properties of the environment.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it works because then, I mean, not that I disagree.
Yeah.
Like, I think the environment needs saving. But I think it's interesting to say that the reasoning is because a lagoon has the right to exist.
Yes.
You could put that on literally anything.
The lagoon has a right to an ecosystem. It has the right to evolve naturally and be restored, just like a person has the right to exist. And now there's a scientific committee that will give a voice to the lagoon.
This is fascinating.
Right?
I mean, in America, we've decided that corporations are people. I'm curious to see if we will extend the same courtesy to nature or probably not, knowing our country the way I do.
This has happened with a river in Bangladesh. It's happened with a river in New Zealand. Parliament has protected it. Okay, this river in New Zealand can be sued or can sue, can enter contracts and also hold property.
Can you imagine if you have a contract with the river?
I know.
That's amazing.
And in United Kingdom, there are activist groups trying to rid rivers of pollution.
Sure, yeah.
Like, you wouldn't pollute a human, right?
I think we would. I mean,
I wouldn't go up to you and force feed you motor oil.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay.
Not most days.
Okay, let's wrap this up with sort of like a funny, heartwarming story.
Okay.
A new study suggests that dogs can see with their nose.
What? Good boys. What's going on with the dogs?
Okay, so this is in the Journal of Neuroscience this month. A study revealed that the sense of smell in dogs' brains are connected to their eyes. Dogs, renowned for their ability to smell things, identify objects, right? It is now being revealed that they enhance this talent with special brain structures that help them see things with their nose. So basically, dogs have a connection between their nose and their occipital lobe, aka the part of the brain responsible for visual perception, including color and form and motion. Like, there is a special connection between the occipital lobe and the nose in dogs. This study did 23 MRI scans of dogs, and basically it's like the occipital lobe lights up when they smell things.
That's wild.
Yep. Humans have no connection between the nose and the occipital lobe.
No.
And so because humans don't have this connection, it's never really been studied in animals before, but they are thinking that maybe they're going to find this connection in other animals too.
It just makes you wonder how many other bizarre connections and capabilities animals have that we can't even conceive of.
So the part of the brain that helps with scent is larger in a dog.
Mine is super small because I can't really smell much.
They have 30 million smell receptors and humans just have 5 million.
Wow. They're so useful and sweet.
I know. So
I
sweet,
love them.
So
I love doges. Kathleen and I are sitting here oohing and aahing on carawayhome.com because we are partners with them, but also we're just obsessed with them in real life too.
Yeah.
So it's a real good relationship. But they have these new minis.
They're these cute little sort of like single serving frying pans and saucepans, which I freaking love because sometimes I don't need a huge soup pot to heat up one can of soup.
Yeah. And they come in so many. Okay, first let's talk about Caraway.
Yeah.
All right, let's let's, Kathleen, you got to focus.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I just love Caraway so much, and I love going to the website before we do this commercial because then I get to see all the cute new products.
It's like checking in with your friends. Here's the deal. Caraway Home makes non-toxic kitchenware, all designed for the modern home. They have a chemical-free ceramic coating, so your food just slides right off of it.
Yeah.
Without having to worry, like, am I getting weird chemicals leaching into my food from like a non-stick coating?
Yeah. Erase all of your cooking anxieties when it comes to chemicals, because Caraway doesn't have any of that stuff.
They come in beautiful colors like this navy. They have one that's called Paracotta.
Yes.
I have their giant frying pan in a beautiful navy blue. They have green,
yes,
yellow.
Oh, the sage, Bethany, is one of my favorites. And I'm doing like a very light facelift in my kitchen right now.
Yes.
And one of the best ways to cover up an ugly stove is with a beautiful piece of cookware. But Caraway also has bakeware. So make your kitchen a rainbow of happiness with non-toxic cookware and bakeware. The holidays are coming up. Get it for yourself. Get it for other people. It's something that you'll actually use.
And you're not taking a risk. Over 25,000 people have raved about their Caraway kitchen. And now with these new minis, and they come in the Iconics colors too, which is white with gold or black with gold. Freaking love Caraway so damn much.
Every time I'm taking an Instagram picture or video in my kitchen, I make sure that my Caraways are in the photo because it adds such like a nice homey decorative touch to the photo.
Caraway is like having a hot friend.
Yes.
You know, that you make show up to like make like, oh, see, the people I hang out with.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. Or like when you're trying to get this guy to hang out with your friend group and he's like, okay, well, like, are there any hot girls in the group?
Yeah.
And you send pictures of like only your best looking friends.
Yeah. Yeah. You just send them pictures of Sarah. So visit carawayhome.com/ATP to take advantage of our limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase.
This deal is exclusive for our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/ATP or use the code ATP at checkout.
Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern and sexy. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
This is a podcast, so I guess we have to talk. It's so funny. Jesus. On the way into podcast today, I was listening to an old episode of The Daily.
Okay.
And it was about workplace surveillance.
Oh, God.
How since the pandemic, companies, it's more like okay for companies to put workplace surveillance into effect because now more than ever, people are working from home.
Sure.
And it just blows my mind that companies think that it's okay to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's like, so you know that they sell these little devices, I think it's called like a mouse shaker.
Okay.
So you buy it on Amazon or whatever, and you put it underneath your mouse or next to your mouse. And so if you walk away from your computer, it shakes your mouse. So your computer never becomes inactive.
So it makes it look like you're working even when you're
not. Yes, yes.
See, every time they try to get us down, we're going to fight back.
Okay. I think that this software is fine, but you have to completely disclose.
Yes.
To your employees that you're using it.
Yes.
And the podcast was talking to this woman where I guess maybe it hadn't been disclosed to the companies, to the people, the employees. And she started getting paychecks for less money than what she was supposed to be making. And it's because her company had installed this software on her computer. And this was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Where every 10 minutes, it would take a screenshot of what was up on her screen on her computer. And it would also take a picture from the computer's camera of her. And so if you were working during that like 10 minute screen capture and photo capture, you would get paid for those 10 minutes. But like, say you worked 9 minutes and then in the 10th minute, you stood up to get a cup of coffee, you wouldn't be paid.
Did she sue them?
I don't know. I don't think so. But also, sometimes you work where you're reading documents that you've printed out. Yep. And so it's not all digital.
Well, and also, guess what? Sometimes a human being needs to step away for a second to be okay and to be able to function and focus at work.
As somebody with ADHD, I was almost like, this might make me more productive. And then I was like, should I offer Bethany to install this software on my computer? Could you work for a company that tracked you that way? I think you would become obsessed with being ultra productive and it would eventually like slow burning acid.
Yeah, it
wear
would melt
away.
Me down.
Yeah.
I think if I was making enough money,
uh-huh.
But if it's like you're making just enough to get by.
Yeah.
/ enough to get by, but not like enough to be having fun.
Yes, yes.
No.
Yeah, I know.
But if I'm making like a gajillion dollars, fine. You know, I'll do what it takes to make a gajillion dollars, but then I'm going to bounce.
And I would need the exact specifications of what I was being graded on.
Yes.
And if certainly I would have my personal laptop next to my work computer.
Yes.
Do you remember I used to do that at our old job?
Yes.
I used to bring in my personal computer,
set
it up next to my work computer. So if I ever needed to pop over and do something personal, I didn't have to do it on my work computer.
I think I would also figure out, do you remember the MTV show Fear?
Yes, a very long time ago.
Where they had those clam cams. So like the camera was on a rig that they wore.
Yes.
If you don't remember the show, it was a reality show pre-9/11. And I only say that because the show ended because people after 9/11 didn't want to see a lot of people screaming and being scared.
Yeah.
But this show was on MTV. I was obsessed with it. They would take a bunch of like hot young things, put them in a truly haunted location, leave them all alone with no one except themselves, and they all wore these harnesses with cameras on them.
I remember this.
Yeah, and the cameras were faced at the person,
uh-huh.
so that as the person moved around in the scary environment, they stayed in frame and the background moved around behind them. And it was like this sort of disorienting thing. I think they used the same rig in the movie Old School with Will Ferrell.
Oh, cool.
But like, I would wear a rig like that that had my laptop on it. So that anytime I was doing something, I was walking around, my laptop was still there in front of me. So it had to take a picture. It's going to get me in frame, even if I'm getting coffee.
Yeah. So this other company said to their employees, if you want to work from home one day a week, we need to be able to surveil you every single day during the week.
That's wild.
That one incentive for me is not worth it.
I'll just come into work. I'll just come into work.
Yeah.
No, screw you. Did you see that thing on TikTok where this woman posted from her work and she said, I have to come into work like 3 days a week for quote unquote company culture.
Yeah.
And she said, this is the culture. And it was a completely empty floor. She was the only one who was there.
Oh,
I was like,
man,
it was her laptop she brings in from home.
Yeah.
So she traveled to work with a laptop she had at home to work in an office on that laptop and then bring the laptop home again.
And so it basically is just costing her extra commuter money.
Yes.
That to me is not worth it. But being able to work from home all of the time, surveillance to me, if it were within reason, I think might make me more productive.
I would need to know if it was within reason.
And do I get a lunch break?
Right.
And then also, it better helps put parameters around working hours.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Because if you stop surveilling me at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Then I know that I get to stop working at 5 p.m.
Yes. There's no reason for you to keep working. I think that might be like an added benefit to it. I haven't read it, but I just Googled workplace surveillance. And actually, the New York Times put out an article a little more than a month ago about this. I think this is the article related to the podcast that I listened to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like workplaces treat their people like crap. This is just more of it.
I know.
It's just more of it.
It's just, yeah. It makes you a thing instead of a person.
Yeah.
It makes you just like statistics to look at to see what your output is to your boss instead of like Bethany, the human being who loves the color black, drinks too much coffee, and is very sensitive and is kind to animals.
Yeah. And then, no, you stepped away from your laptop. You don't get paid for that 10 minutes. That's just nuts. It's just nuts. I don't know.
And then you can't quiet quit. you know?
Yeah, totally. I think that's also probably why they're doing it.
Like quiet quitting when you don't go above and beyond, you mm-hmm. do exactly what only your job title is and
yep.
that's it.
Yep. It's like a case of senioritis. But, you know, I don't know. Kathleen,
yeah.
what did you learn this week?
I learned that Hocus Pocus 2 is way better than Hocus Pocus 1.
I have heard nothing but bad things about it.
No, it was a delightful movie. Everyone who's saying bad things bite their tongue. Okay, did you see Hocus Pocus growing up?
Of course.
Okay, I didn't. I saw it for the first time as an adult.
Oh.
And so I have this theory. And, you know, like our engineer Blair,
yeah.
who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, he was the first one to kind of like admit out loud that I've seen that Hocus Pocus 1 kind of sucks.
Really?
And it's because he saw it as an adult. I saw it as an adult. I think anybody who saw the first one for the first time as an adult
yeah.
is going to think the second one is better. I think people like you who saw the first one as a child
yeah.
is going to think the second one sucks.
Because we have like a real big emotional attachment to that movie. That yeah. movie for me is fall.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. I haven't watched it recently. Yeah. So I, you know, I don't know. It might actually be awful, but I don't know. Doug Jones is in it. I think Doug Jones is amazing.
Who's Doug Jones?
He plays the zombie.
Oh, Billy, whatever,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, Billy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He also plays, I think, The Shape of Water in The Shape of Water. I think that's Doug.
Yes, it yeah. is. That is him.
Yeah. I call him Doug like we're on a first name basis. Well, what I learned this week is that if you get clothing online
yeah.
and you decide to leave a review for that clothing,
uh-huh.
please include in your review how loud the clothing is. Like, audibly loud.
Oh, like how it sounds when yeah. you walk?
Because I am wearing a pair of pants today that I ordered online, and they are so loud
yeah.
when I walk because they are made of, like, acetate. I don't know what. They're made out of some kind of plastic.
Wait, let me stand up. Let me see your pants.
They're these, like...
Oh, cool, Bethany.
Gothic leggings.
They look like bike shorts with... Oh, wait, I have to stand up to see the whole thing. So it looks like bike shorts and then, like, tights, like, lace tights attached to the bike shorts. And then right above the knee, the pants start again. So they are no longer see-through tights. And they lace up like a Victorian bodice.
Yeah.
And they, yeah, they're definitely like faux leather.
Yeah.
And they're black and they're amazing.
But I'm going to see if I can capture the sound when I walk. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold
on. Put that microphone down by your
right
crotch.
Right by my legs. And then... It's not just that. It's like the bottom sort of crinkles, too, because it's gathered where the lacing is. So these are some of the loudest damn pants I've ever worn. And I am definitely going to leave that in the review. Because I've also bought, like, sweatshirts that are, for some reason, crinkly and just, like, shoes that squeak. So it's good to know going in
yeah.
that you're going to be making a lot of noise as you walk through the office.
Yeah. Neil has a pair of boots from, I don't know, Banana Republic or something that he won't wear to work because they make too much noise.
Yep, yep, yep.
And years ago, I used to wear this like big chunky necklace that was gold from Ann Taylor and it had like fake coins
yes,
on the necklace.
Yes, I love that necklace.
And I used to have to hold my necklace down as I was walking to the bathroom because I was like Ebenezer Scrooge. With the chains, yeah. like, you know, behind me, like, yep. dragging on the ground, like, I am a prisoner, yep. and these are my chains.
I have these dope pair of, like, wedges for the summertime. They're these ankle booties wedges.
Yeah.
And they have fringe around the ankles, so when you walk, it's like... It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, that is sound. Yep. Include sound
yep.
in clothing reviews.
There's this, again, Veep I've been bringing up a lot lately. There's an episode of Veep where she has to walk down this super long hallway to a live television, like, State of the Union type speech to America.
Yeah.
And so the cameras around the world are live streaming her as she walks down this hallway towards the camera. And she's put on her celebration Louboutins, which she's never worn before.
Oh, no.
And one of them squeaks.
Oh.
So the entire walk down this long hallway towards all of these cameras, you just hear squeak, squeak.
Yep.
Squeak.
Yep.
Squeak. It's awful.
And it's so annoying when you've spent a lot of money and it, on that item and you're like, why can't you
shut the fuck up? Damn it.
Okay. Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. What about you, Kathleen?
Kathleen loves color on everything except for Twitter. Cat loves color.
You can also find our podcast on most social medias. Just search Acquired Taste Podcast.
Yeah, we come up.
Yeah, we sure do.
We're there.
Send us an email, hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
Yes, and also we have a snail mail address, and that's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Give us a call. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every single episode. That phone number is 917-994-0353.
This podcast is edited by the ever-talented, ever-handsome, ever-Twitch-streaming entertainer.
You showed up and watched our Twitch stream Thursday night.
I did. You and Dennis make me want to play video games.
Oh.
And I hate video games almost as much as I hate people who go to Disney every year.
We have a good time, though. It's not just about video games.
I'm kidding. Please don't send us emails about people who go to Disney every year. It's a joke.
It's a
joke. Anyway.
You can follow Dennis on social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O. Join us twitch.tv/Dennis Callow every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a good time.
And we also have a Patreon where we do live shows twice a month and book club. And recently we got a really interesting email from a taste bud who was like, hey, why do you keep reading books written by white women?
Ah.
And I'm like, you know what? You're totally right. It's because people vote on the books.
Yeah.
Even though I include authors with different backgrounds and genders and nationalities in the voting, for some reason, we always vote in white women. So I am going to start picking some of the books myself.
Yeah,
so we can experience literature written by people from different backgrounds.
And
so, yeah, join our book club.
Yeah. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Megan from Naples, Florida. In a recent podcast, you were talking about how expensive haircuts can be. I may have a solution for other taste buds. For years, my sister Lauren, who is also a taste bud, and I have used Paul Mitchell School. The haircut is $11. $11. It is done by a student, but he or she is always led by an instructor that is walking around and helping on the salon floor. They do cut, color, barber services, everything. And the best part, they use Paul Mitchell products, which are amazing and, most importantly, cruelty-free. Because the haircut is so cheap, I always tip the student well, and the total amount is still way, way below what the average haircut costs. Just Google Paul Mitchell School, and they have locations all over the country. On another note, our community was just hit by Hurricane Ian. The devastation is unimaginable. It feels like a nightmare we can't wake up from. Listening to the podcast has been a great escape during some stressful times. Thanks for everything. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen and all of the taste buds. This is Courtney from Queens, and I was just listening to section 4 of episode 423 about the estate sale that Kathleen's friend had told her about and that Bethany had gone to. And it reminded me, you know, how unorganized and how people were just going through someone's stuff. And it reminded me of what has recently gone on in my family with the passing of my grandmother, the matriarch of the family, at the ripe old age of 98. The lady had lived a life and she had a lot of amazing things, but going through them was made so much easier and really more meaningful because of her hyper organization. It may seem morbid to some, but she had lists upon lists of who was getting what, where it came from, what the origin was, the meaning behind it, and also beyond, you know, the important expensive things, having that in official paperwork, so I knew for years what I was getting. It also was the knickknacks and the sentimental items around her house had labels on them. So it was my fun game for years to go and lift items up and lift up the candy dish when she was in the bathroom and see, oh, who's getting this and what's the meaning behind it. And I think for anyone looking for ways to organize their life, I know that's kind of intense to be labeling your items, but I find myself already forgetting where I got something or when I got it or, you know, what kind of meaning I have behind it that I want to make sure that people know about. So if anyone's looking for ways to organize their life, this is a nice way to keep in touch with her and even after she passed. So I wanted to pass that on to everyone else, and I hope everyone has a nice day.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. Bethany and Kathleen. This is Lauren in Atlanta. I'm in the car on the way to work. It's 7:30 in the morning, but I'm catching up on the podcast and I had to call because I'm listening to the bonus episode where Bethany's talking about that insane mess commercial from years and years ago, and I had to call in. So my friends and I found this commercial on YouTube. I didn't know it was a real commercial, first of all. I was probably in about 10th grade. Anyway, we found this on YouTube. We were obsessed with it. We thought it was hilarious. I left it pulled up on my parents' computer one day, and then I went to go hang out with a friend, and when I came home, my parents sat me down, and they were like, I'm so concerned about you. We need to talk to you. What is this? And they played the commercial, and I was cracking up. They did not think it was funny. They thought I was on drugs. Just had to share that story. I hope you all are doing wonderful, and I hope you have a fantastic day, and I love you both. Stay tight.
Hello, ladies. This is Taste Justina calling from Miami. Originally grew up in Wisconsin after immigrating with my family from Poland when I was a kid. I was inspired to call after hearing the discussion about gachis on the latest episode, and it actually reminded me of a Polish word that my grandparents and like my mom used to say all the time, gacha, which is like a slang old world term for old pants or underpants, kind of like grimy, like old clothes pretty much. So I know that Kathleen has Eastern European roots, I believe you mentioned. So perhaps your parents had picked that up sometime in their past from someone else. So just thought that might help. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Melissa. I just had the distinct pleasure of re-listening to the episode. My car decided to replay it when I was on my way to work. And I realized that Kathleen said ear blind as opposed to deaf. And it just gave me a really good, solid chuckle to hear a brain fart happen in the moment. So anyway, hope everyone has a great day. And I don't know, just thought I'd share. It made me chuckle. Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.